friends, and welcome to Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I'm so excited to be with you this Sunday, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. This is the service for August 18th, and we are in the middle of August, which is hard to believe that we are. Christmas seemed like a blink away from today, and it's already almost fall. So time is passing by, and I hope that every day that passes, all this time that has passed and will come, is full of blessings and joy for you. Let us come together today in a posture of worship. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Today we have two short readings, one from the Psalms and one from the Epistle. Hear now the words of this that point to how wisdom should permeate our faith. The first is Psalm 34, 9 through 14. Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The lesson today from Ephesians is chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Hear now the words from the letter from Paul to the Ephesians, inspired by God. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us now join together in the words of the Apostles' Creed as we affirm our faith together. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we feel the heat of August but look forward to the relief of the fall, let us savor every day, not wishing it away, but savoring every minute that we have to reflect your love and light back onto the world. Hope in the future, seeking peace and pursuing it, is what you hope and wish for us, what you plan for us and want for us. Let us do that together in a community of faith. Let us do also the act of prayer together as we pray the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we continue our look at John chapter 6. We will be in verses 51 through 58. Hear now the word of the Lord. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come together today to hear the good word that you have given me, let it touch all those who hear it just as much, if not more, than it touched my spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? It was one of my favorite TV shows, not just because Jeff Foxworthy is a hoot and a half, but also because it gave me a chance to sit at home and see if I was also smarter than a fifth grader without the embarrassment of finding out that I was not in front of an audience. I have a lot of useless knowledge in my head, and most of it does not have anything to do with anything important. For instance, I know how to create a pivot table in an Excel spreadsheet. I also know that Macon was named after Nathaniel Macon, the man that the city was named for never stepped foot in Macon. But the settlers that came down from North Carolina thought he was pretty nifty and named Macon after him. I can also diagram a sentence. Try not to be too impressed. But knowledge does not often equal wisdom. It's easy to have a bunch of facts in your head and still not be able to know when someone is being genuine. It's easy to remember the formula for water is H2O and not drink enough of it when it's hot outside. Or knowing when scripture is being literal and when it is using metaphors and even sarcasm. Knowledge versus wisdom. How we take the knowledge we have and logically apply it to the world and the words that we study. Jesus is trying to show those followers that he is speaking to in John that very idea. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They wonder to themselves. Knowledge. They know Jesus has said the words, I am the bread of life, but they are taking things at their face value. This is not a call to cannibalism. We all know that. This is an obvious metaphor to us. We come to the table often to live out what Jesus is suggesting. The people in this scripture lesson have not made the wise connection between the Passover supper and the person of Christ yet. I could not choose just one scripture today for our first reading. Both are beautiful scriptures, but both of them bring home this idea of wisdom. Both warn of the unwise, which is just as important as being wise. We can read the John scripture and say to ourselves, of course Jesus was not talking about actually eating his flesh. But the people of the day were not as wise as we are. The warnings against the people who do not use logic and reason to read scripture and live out the faith of the wise are seen in the verses I read earlier. Psalm 34 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Ephesians warns us further. Verse 15 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish. Live a wise life. Do good. Pursue peace. If we took these verses at face value, our communion time would be very different. But we are called to use wisdom, not just knowledge. It reminds me of our Wesleyan roots. John Wesley used the quadrilateral way of discernment. Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience as his way of using wisdom and faith, taking knowledge and using it wisely. Let's look at how we use this for our basic understanding of communion. One of the main ways we put our practice into faith. We find the basics of communion in several different places in Scripture. We find it in the Synoptic Gospels and the Last Supper depictions. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we find the basis of it here in John 6. Verse 53 says, so Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. If you turn in your hymnals to page 14 and 15, you will see the words, this is my body and this is my blood. My wisdom and the wisdom of the church says that we are not eating flesh and drinking blood. It's an easy example because I know that the people that prepare our communion go to Publix to get bread. And the loaf, well, it's an actual loaf. And as good Methodists, we know that Welch's grape juice was created by a Methodist, so we don't have to drink wine. We know these are just representations of what Jesus was trying to show his disciples in the moment and remind us of it now today. In the United Methodist document by Water and the Spirit, which is our Wesleyan way of understanding baptism and communion, it says this. We do not embrace the medieval doctrine of transubstantiation, meaning that the elements actually become flesh and blood. Though we do believe that the elements are essential, tangible means through which God works. We understand the divine presence in temporal and relational terms. In the holy meal of the church, the past, the present, and the future of the living Christ come together by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we may receive and embody Jesus Christ as God's saving gift for the whole world. It is a connection to the larger church and to all believers through Christ, and it is a gift to the whole world. Thank goodness we don't have to gnaw on each other. Thank goodness we get to use the wisdom to discern what the texts mean. Thank goodness we get to work together to do that practice, not just with this scripture, but with all scripture. Grant us wisdom, we sing in our hymns. What other scriptures can we apply this to? I would like to start with my friend Paul. He famously said this: women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be subordinate, as the law also says. If there's anything that they desire to know, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Scripture says I should not be preaching if you read only these words. Tradition, reason, and experience tell me that Jesus was talking about a group of busybody women that were causing trouble in that Ephesian church. Not all women everywhere for the rest of time. I'm not just worried about the girls either. How about let's look back at the Old Testament? Deuteronomy 21 says this about sons. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, who does not heed them when they discipline him, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his town at the gate of the palace. They shall say to the elders of his town, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear and be afraid. Scripture tells me I should be an only child. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times I have wished to be an only child, but this seems a little extreme. But tradition, reason, and experience have evolved past killing boys who are stubborn and rebellious. Parenting is hard, but at least you don't have to watch your kids and grandkids be stoned to death anymore. More specifically, your sons and grandsons. Wisdom has prevailed over the Old Testament scripture. Today's scripture is no different. If we wanted to, we could look at the scripture and simply say, Jesus says, "Eat me," which he does in verse 57. We could do that, but that's not the wise way to read it. Where else in our lives do we need to continue this practice of seeking wisdom? What other areas need us to use scripture and tradition and reason and experience? It is not a practice that we have to limit to faith. We can use those same ideas across our lives. It's been a while, but I read you a poem that I was given in one of my New Testament classes. It's become a favorite way of looking at scripture. It's a good way to think of this scripture lesson today. Billy Collins' Introduction to Poetry says this: I asked them to take a poem and hold it up to the light, like a color slide, or press an ear against its hive. I say, drop a mouse into a poem and watch him probe his way out, or walk inside the poem's room and feel the walls for a light switch. I want them to water ski across the surface of a poem, waving it at the author's name on the shore. But all they want to do is tie the poem to a chair with a rope and torture a confession out of it. They begin beating it with a hose to find out what it really means. Jesus says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me. And I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. let us not only be knowledgeable, but wise as well. Let us not tie those verses to a chair with a rope to torture it or beat it with a hose. Let these words water ski across the surface of the water. Let us hold it up to the light of day and hold it to our ear and hear the buzzing hive sound it makes, because I want to be wise enough to eat that bread. The bread that Jesus speaks of that lets us live forever. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us look for ways to find a chance to use that quadrilateral of ideas, scripture, and reason, and tradition, and knowledge, and our own thoughts and minds. Let us look for those things, those ways in the world where we can show each other grace, and not tie our ideas to a chair and beat them with a rope or a hose. Let's look for ways that we can be divinely inspired through scripture and through each other. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.